You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A Palestinian solidarity group is calling on the Israeli ambassador to New Zealand to apologise to citizens for their country's treatment of Palestinian refugees. Israel has been criticised by the United Nations and other groups for its refusal to let Palestinians return to their homeland, which contravenes international law. I spoke with John Minto from the Palestinian Solidarity Network about Israel's treatment of Palestinian refugees, first asking him what he was calling on the ambassador to do.
Well, we're calling on the Israeli ambassador to apologise to New Zealanders for the fact that his government's policy of refusing to accept Palestinian refugees is costing New Zealand $1 million a year.
How exactly does this work?
Well, New Zealand funds the UNRWA, which is the United Nations group which supports Palestinian refugees. And the only reason we have that group supporting Palestinian refugees outside Israel is because Israel refuses to allow them to return to their homes and their land. So it's a racist Israeli policy, which is costing New Zealanders $1 million a year.
And in what ways is this a racist policy?
Well, it's a racist policy because Israel allows any Jewish person living anywhere in the world to come and live in Israel, but it refuses to allow Palestinians who have lived in that area or whose families have lived in that area for hundreds, if not thousands of years, to return to their land. So there's, you know, one law for Jews, there's one law for Palestinians, and Palestinians are second-class citizens in that regard.
So where are these refugees having to go if they can't return to their homeland?
Well, these refugees are in fact scattered all around the world now. They are in Jordan, in Egypt, in the Middle East. They are in the West Bank, the occupied West Bank, which Israel has this military occupation of. And they're in New Zealand, they're in Australia, they're all around the world, but they're being refused the right to return to their lands. The UNRWA supports refugees, particularly in those areas around in the West Bank and in Jordan and Egypt.
And this refusal to allow Palestinians, refugees, into Israel, does this sort of contravene international law in any way?
Yes, it does. In fact, when Israel was established by the United Nations said, yes, we will allow the formation of a Jewish homeland, but it must not be at the expense of the people already living there. And Israel ignored that and began this ethnic cleansing policy. They would drive Palestinians, drive Palestinians off their land at gunpoint and simply ejected them from the country. And it's between 700,000 and 1 million. And those people form the basis of the refugee policies around the world. Now, so the United Nations since 1949 has passed a resolution every year calling on Israel to accept these refugees. Now, New Zealand votes in favour of Israel being required to accept these refugees, but there's no pressure put on Israel in New Zealand for them to do that. And as I say, the result is that it's costing New Zealand taxpayers $1 million a year.
And what is Israel's rationale for this? Why do they not want to accept Palestinians?
Because they want to keep a Jewish majority state in the Middle East, and it's a policy that's very like the policy of apartheid in South Africa, where black South Africans were denied citizenship of South Africa, and they were told, "Oh, you can have citizenship of one of the Bantustans." Well, the problem is that Israel has stolen Palestinian land to the point where it's not possible to form a Palestinian state. The Palestinian state that could have been formed has been buried under Jewish settlements, which are illegal under international law. So Israel is thumbing its nose at the world, at the United Nations, at international law, and New Zealand is simply going along with it.
How is it able to do this? Is this because it's always had quite strong backing from the US?
Well, it's partly that, yes. It's had backing from the US, which wants to have a friendly state in the Middle East, which is obviously an oil-rich area of the world. But it's also that Israel is able to silence its critics often by making claims of anti-Semitism against anyone who criticizes the state of Israel. So we're saying that New Zealand has got to stand up against that, against this, you know, in a sense, a sort of blackmail. You know, if you criticize Israel, we'll call you anti-Semitic. And New Zealand politicians have been duped by this. They have allowed themselves to be blackmailed like this. And it's time that New Zealand stood up for what we believe in. We did it in the case of South Africa. We can do it in the case of Israel.
And I mean, what is the government's current sort of stance on the Israel-Palestine conflict, I suppose? Where do we stand on that?
Well, New Zealand stands very much on the side of Israel. This is the great a great tragedy, really, for New Zealand policy because, you know, we say we believe in human rights and we believe in international law and international institutions. But in the case of Israel, we're making this exception. We're letting them breach international law. We're allowing them to avoid criticism. And yet they're continuing this brutal treatment toward Palestinian people. And I think it's because New Zealand politicians lack the courage to speak out against Israel because they're worried they'll be called anti-Semitic.
Have we seen a change in our relationship with Israel?
Yes, there's been a marked swing to the right in relations with Israel. We're moving in the wrong direction under Winston Peters as Minister of Defence and Ron Marcus, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Ron Marcus, Minister of Defence. These two New Zealand first politicians are taking New Zealand much closer to the US position, which is an obsequious one toward Israel. You know, our government, our country has to stand with the oppressed people. We've done it in the past. We've got to do it now. We shouldn't be standing with the bully in the playground. We should be standing with the victims and demanding justice.
And one of the movements attempted at getting Israel to change some of their policies is the BDS movement. Do you want to talk about this a bit?
Yeah, the BDS is something which Israel is terrified of, and quite rightly so, because BDS means the people of the world joining together to boycott Israel and cut all ties with Israel until it abides by international law and accepts United Nations resolutions. Now, that's something which we can do. It's a non-violent protest against the treatment of Palestinians being meted out by Israel. A non-violent protest, but one which can have a very significant effect. It did in the case of South Africa. The liberation movement in South Africa, the ANC, and people like Bishop Desmond Tutu said that without that international solidarity, they would not have been able to overthrow apartheid. And, you know, we've got a situation where the world joined together to boycott South Africa. We can have the same really strong impact with a full boycott of Israel.
What do you think the chances of this actually happening are?
I think the chances are very good because the call was made in 2005, and you know, since then there's been a slow build up of pressure through BDS. It's now got to the point where Israel is spending millions of dollars a year on these on campaigns to try and undermine BDS. So Israel has given up trying to win the argument about why they should have an exclusive racist state in the Middle East. They know they've lost that argument. So what they've done is they're concentrating their efforts on silencing their critics. And so around the world, they're trying to bring pressure on BDS activists, trying to get governments to act against BDS activists. But it's simply not going to work because the people of the world are not going to accept this situation, and we are going to see we are already seeing a very important strengthening of the BDS campaign in countries all around the world.
Do you feel the Trump administration's recognition of Jerusalem as the Israeli capital has sort of emboldened them?
Well, it has. The fact that you've got Trump in the US has emboldened the Israeli leadership. But that's in international terms, it has sharpened the debate about Israel. And with Trump and Netanyahu standing together, people of the world can see that these people are actually a tiny minority. I think it's been a very bad call for Israel to align itself with Trump, because it means that Israel has exposed itself. It has exposed its own racism in a way which wasn't clear before to a lot of people. So I think it's a bad move on their part. It has emboldened them in the short term, but that's going to reap a pretty bitter harvest in the long.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.